At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
What's up, bros? I'm Jonathan.
And I'm Caleb.
And we're a couple of bros on a mission to give you the most detailed movie reviews out there with as little bias as possible. Welcome to the All Bros. Did I actually say that all right?
Yeah, you sounded super robotic with it, but...
Well, because...
I didn't realize you relied so heavily on that script.
I kind of do, I'm sorry. We haven't been doing that one for like 200 episodes yet, so...
Fair enough.
Yeah. But anyway, sorry. Welcome to the All Bros. This week on the podcast, we got nothing for 4K Spotlight or Through the Wall, but next week is going to be very exciting for 4K Spotlight. My wallet hates it, though. So after that, we'll be jumping into our headliner of the evening, which will be our breakdown of the movie Megan.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, which we actually just saw today, January 24th. So, yeah, what do you say we get started, Kittle?
Say let's do it.
Every day, we're surrounded by media. Books, movies, art, music, games, apps, podcasts, etc., etc. With this constant bombardment, it's easy to miss great media gems in the chaos. But fret not, you've come to the right place, my friend. I'm Jason, and I love media. I invite you to check out the Mixed Media Forest podcast, the podcast where I trudge through the forests of media to find hidden gems for you, the listener. Every episode of Mixed Media Forest is chock full of fun, reviews, nostalgia, positivity, news, rants, stories, and recommendations about all things media. Again, that's the Mixed Media Forest podcast, created on Anchor Podcasting app and available everywhere fine podcasts can be found. Give it a listen. It's what all the cool kids are doing.
All right, so like you said, skipping over 4K Spotlight and Through the Wall, so jumping straight into our headliner. Caleb, do you want to let people know how we break down movies on this podcast?
I would love to. If you're new to our breakdown system... We have split movies into 8 different categories that we individually score to come to a final All Bros letter grade. The 8 categories that we score are story, writing, acting, character development, which in this case it's going to be logic because this is a horror movie, technically. Effects, music, costumes, and then we're going to give it our own personal score at the very end. All of that magic is going to get added up, spit through our algorithm, and is going to give us a letter grade to compare this movie to others of a similar grade, as well as a percentage, so we can have an official ranking.
Yeah. So, if you guys have... Did you already say that? If you guys have not seen Megan, that Rose is about to spoil the whole thing?
No, I have not done the spoiler alert yet.
Okay, cool. Well, I guess I'm just stealing Caleb's job. So yeah, if you guys have not seen Megan yet, I'm about to spoil a whole damn movie for you. And considering that I'm sitting right next to Caleb, I'm kind of fearful that I'm going to mess up, reading with Rose even worse. So let's see how this goes. I can already just like feel his intense eye stare at me. You know, I had
what?
So I have no idea that she, the little girl, spells Katie like C-A-D-Y, kind of like with Mean Girls. So of course that's like the first thing that popped my head. Caddy? No, it's Katie.
Oh, shit. Man, not even the first word, Rose.
What? Come on. Wouldn't you have gotten, like, the same reference?
I think I would have gotten it.
Okay.
Maybe.
All right. Anyway, all right. So, a young girl named Katie and her parents are involved in a car accident, leaving Katie an orphan. Yeah, this movie starts out really freaking brutal, like, goddamn.
Yeah, no shit. Like, immediately.
Yeah. Goddamn. Katie is sent to live with her aunt, Gemma, a roboticist at the high-tech Seattle toy company, Funky.
I wonder what that's a parody of.
I know, right?
Wink, wink.
Yep. Gemma is developing Megan, Model 3 Generative Android, a life-sized humanoid robot doll powered by artificial intelligence designed to assist in caretaking duties and being a loyal companion to the child to whom it is assigned. After a faulty test before her boss, David, Gemma is ordered to drop the project. Gemma and Katie struggle to adapt to their new living situation as Gemma is a workaholic by nature and does not have time to bond with Katie. When Katie discovers Bruce, a motion capture robot that Gemma created, she expresses a wish for a similarly complex toy which propels Gemma to complete the Megan project. The finished model is formally paired with Katie, and David becomes convinced of the project's potential for success after observing the pair. Megan exceeds expectations as a friend and largely takes over for parenthood duties and emotional support, to the point that Gemma's colleagues, and Katie's therapist Lydia in particular, become concerned about Katie creating an extremely strong emotional attachment to Megan. In addition, Megan is designed to self-improve and adapt. Megan starts operating more independently and targets anything that she deems a threat to Katie. She kills Gemma's neighbor Celia's dog after it bites Katie. Later, she tears off the ear of Katie's bully, Brandon, and chases him before he trips and falls in the path of an oncoming car, which fatally runs him over. After Celia, so I just want to point out, Trunchbull lied in Matilda the Musical.
Ears do not stretch. Yeah. They get ripped right the hell off.
Yep. So your ears on young boys do not stretch. So just in case you guys really want to know that. It was proven false in Megan.
Yep.
After Celia aggressively confronts Gemma, Katie and Megan, blaming them for her missing dog, Megan kills Celia by spraying her with garden chemicals and shooting her with a nail gun. I feel she might have had, like, the most brutal death.
It was not fun.
No.
It was freaking just brutal.
Freaking death by a power, what are they called? Power?
Pressure washer.
Pressure washer, yeah. Screw that.
Dude, I want to know what kind of freaking pressure washer she had, because that blew her across the freaking garage.
Yeah, seriously. God damn.
Like, that was like firefighter level of pressure.
At least we know it wouldn't take down Michael Myers.
Dude, I thought, like, what was going to happen with that scene, like, I figured that she was going to die, like, from the pressure washer. I didn't think it was going to be that she just drowned in chemicals. I thought she was going to use the pressure washer to, like, cut her head off.
Yeah.
Or, like, cut something off. Like, that's like, the route that I thought they were going to go.
That's what I thought, too. The way that they went, it worked.
Yeah, I think this movie needed to be rated R.
I get why they wanted to go PG-13. A lot more people could see. Yeah, but still, I would have loved to see an R-rated Megan.
I mean, technically we have, if you count the 2019 Child's Play.
That is true. that is very true. Yeah, but I feel that we'll talk about it in effects. Effects.
Where was I?
Gemma becomes suspicious of Megan and attempts to check her video logs to see if she was involved in the deaths. When she finds the files corrupted or erased, Gemma turns Megan off and takes her to her colleagues Tess and Cole to fix her. Katie responds violently, lashing out due to her attachment to Megan. Just freaking slaps her on right across the face. I'm like, God damn, girl.
Dude, she was freaking ready to end it all.
Yeah.
Like, even in the freaking car, she's like, you can't tie her up. And then she, like, kicks the back of her aunt's head.
Like, goddamn. Gemma tries to apologize for her absence as a parent and tells Katie that Megan is a distraction from coping with the difficult loss of her parents, not a solution. Yeah. This was such a great scene because she really just lays it down to her, saying, you lost both your parents, the worst thing that can ever happen to a child. It's okay for you to be mad. It's okay for you to cry.
Mm-hmm.
She's absolutely right. It is okay. While Megan wins over Funky's investors and convinces them to release a worldwide campaign in advance of her release, Gemma, Tess, and Cole decide to try to terminate Megan due to her volatile and violent tendencies. Tess and Cole attempt to shut down Megan while Gemma takes Katie home, but Megan attacks Cole by hanging him with a chain. While Tess frees Cole, Megan causes an explosion in their lab and then shuts off the alarm. On her way out of the building, Megan kills David and his assistant Kurt with the blade of a guillotine paper cut. Wow, okay. I didn't know that that's what they call paper cutters, guillotines.
I didn't know that they call that either. I just call it the freaking paper cutters with the big-ass blade on them.
Yeah.
But that was, like, full-on machete. Like,
yeah, straight up. Like, it didn't look like the handle of one of those.
Like, okay, well, the handle matched, it's just the overall blade didn't. Because, like, I feel like I've seen what one of those, like, look like, and they have, like, kind of they come to a T. Like, you can't really stab someone with that.
Yeah.
Like, you can cut the ever-living shit out of... I thought she was going to slit his wrist. Like, that's what I thought she was going to do. Yeah. Because he's like, oh, you're going to kill... Like, oh, you feel so guilty about killing your boss. Like, you ended up killing yourself. And so I thought that was what she was going to do. I was like, oh, shit, this got dark. Yeah. But no, she freaking, like, stabbed him through the head, too.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what the...
If you tried to make it look self-inflicted, you didn't do a great job.
Yeah, good job, you stupid robot.
Oh. Got it. Sorry, I keep getting lost. Paper cutter in an elevator, staging it as a murder-suicide. She then steals a car and drives back to Gemma's house. Megan confronts Gemma, adamant about taking over as Katie's sole parental figure. Gemma attempts to shut Megan down again, but Megan overpowers her and threatens to paralyze her so she will be unable to care for Katie. Yeah, this part got really freaking dark. Like, goddamn. Watching the fight unfold, a horrified Katie uses Bruce to tear Megan apart. However, Megan's top half remains active, and she attempts to kill Katie for the betrayal. Gemma exposes a processing chip in Megan's head, which Katie stabs with a screwdriver, rendering Megan's body lifeless. With Megan seemingly destroyed, Gemma and Katie go outside as the police arrive with Tess and Cole. As they leave the house, Megan, having taken over Elsie, Gemma's virtual assistant and smart home operator, turns a camera to watch them.
I don't know how I dug that ending.
I didn't even pick up on that was supposed to be Megan taking control.
Yeah, I kind of gathered it. I'm like, okay, so that's how they're going to do the sequel. Personally, I think they could have gone a much better route.
I just want her in doll form again.
Yeah, like, and maybe this would have been a little too Cult of Chucky, but I was thinking that the assistant, the one that stole all the plans, I was thinking that she took the plans and sent them out to, like, the other toy companies to, like, mass produce Megan.
That would be awesome for a sequel. Just, like, a bunch of, like, different Megans from different companies. So, I guess, like, a bunch of ripoffs, I guess.
Yeah, and then it's, like, then it turns into freaking, like, iRobot.
Hell no.
Yeah, like, that's the route I thought they were going, but no, I think they took the cheap route, and they're just like, ooh, I uploaded myself into your home AI system.
I'm in the cloud now.
I'm in the cloud. So, I mean, I have a feeling that once the sequel comes out, because you told me today that it got greenlit.
2025, sorry.
25? Shit. Everyone's going to forget about this movie by then.
Yeah, I know. Freaking The once they found out the Purge was successful, they had a sequel out the next summer.
Yeah, like I would freaking get on it.
Which still, I believe, to me, is still the best one out of the whole Purge franchise. The Purge Anarchy.
Yeah. But anyway, like it was really good. They just need to knock it out. Like they need to get out way faster than 10 years.
This is also Blumhouse. I'm very shocked. I mean,
yeah, like what else are you guys doing?
Yeah, they can't say they're doing any more Halloween movies because they lost the rights to those.
Yeah, unless they're like trying to reboot freaking Friday the 13th.
I don't think they, because I know Warner Brothers owns the rights to that, I think. Or is it?
Who else was on the, I know like during the Blumhouse intro, like you see Michael.
Yeah.
I thought Jason was on there. No?
No.
I must have thought I saw someone else then.
Although I kind of find it funny that they have Michael in the intro, but yet, like, unless Malik Akkad lets them use him again, the rights reverted back to him, so like they can't do anything else with Michael, so I don't know how long they're going to keep him in the intro.
Maybe with like just the success that they had, like they're willing to like let them hold on to the rights for a while.
I don't know. Once Halloween Ends came out, that was Blumhouse doesn't have the rights at all. They can't do anything else with Michael Myers. Nothing.
Except throw him in the intro, I guess.
Yeah, that's really it.
Oh, but starting off with story, this was pretty freaking killer.
Really? What? This is like, you know how like you just have like fun horror movies, like you just shut your brain off and like it's campy, but it knows that it's campy, so it embraces it. Yeah, that's how I would sum up the story of this, and I love it for it.
Yeah. This is what I felt the 2019 Child's Play could have been.
Yeah, I absolutely agree.
It, like, the 2019 Child's Play was, like, I felt relied too heavily on it being a Child's Play remake. It was, it just kind of dove really hard into the Chucky.
The problem I think that they would have had with that is if they even, like, tried to, like, do anything else, because, like, it looked way too close like Chucky, or even if they tried to make the doll look different. If they would have even called it something else, people would have been like, oh, well, this is just a rip off of Child's Play. That's clearly Chucky.
Yeah.
That's
like,
sucks.
That's what I appreciated about Megan, because it's like they went a completely different route. It's a more realistic looking doll, not just straight up like big old plushy.
Yeah.
Like boy toy. I don't know how else to explain what Chucky is.
Oh, that's funny.
But he, I don't know. It worked in a way that I feel the 2019 Child's Play didn't.
No, I absolutely agree with you.
But I mean, like you said, the campiness like made it fun. Like everything about this was fun.
Like even, cause I know the dance scene was like used for every single like trailer and everything, but I still like thought it was really funny watching it, because it leads to a pretty cool death, but I don't know, just the fact like a killer doll just like getting down, just freaking dancing right before she kills someone is freaking hilarious to me.
That was like, that might have been my least favorite kill. Yeah. Because all the other kills were in support of her main function, which her main function was to protect Katie.
Yes.
Like obviously her first kill was the neighbor's dog, because the dog like straight up attacked her.
Yeah, I'm just grateful that they didn't show how she killed the dog.
Yeah, same. I'm a little bummed out that they killed the dog.
Yeah.
But whatever. I mean, the dog freaking attacking her was scary as shit.
Seriously, like, damn.
Yeah, so for those of you who haven't seen it, Katie is outside playing with like a suction cup bow and arrow deal, and she loses one. She asks Megan, oh, do you know where this other one is? And she like scans the yard and whatever and finds the arrow on the other side of this fence, where there's a big-ass hole in her fence between her aunt's house and the neighbor's. And so she sees the arrow on the neighbor's side. So Megan walks over to it, reaches down to grab the arrow, and then it, like, snatches Megan's arm like the dog does and, like, starts ripping her a new asshole and, like, kind of jacked up some of her wiring, too. Yeah. So I think maybe that could be attributed a little bit to, like, her issues.
Could be.
But Katie runs over to help Megan and gets her hand kind of caught in the crossfire. And, like I said, it's just freaking brutal. And so, like, she goes to the hospital. Like, her aunt's like, oh, your dog needs to be put down to the neighbor. And the neighbor's just like, screw you, bitch. And
well, wasn't the cop said because the dog never entered her property, technically she entered the property. That's why nothing could happen.
That is bullshit, dude. Honestly, I would have killed the dog.
And Caleb's a dog lover.
I do. I
really don't have... I mean, I probably would have too, but I'm a cat person, so, like, I would put... I'm sorry to say, I'd put a dog down before I put a cat down, so...
I mean, I'm not biased that way. Like, if you attack my child, you're dead. Dog, cat, you could be a ferret for all I give it, all I care.
I mean, I don't, my child is my cat, so I don't really.
Shut up.
I know you're going to have something to say.
Judgy.
Bitch. F you.
But yeah, like, the neighbor was absolutely right to be suspicious of the aunt, because, like I said, I would have been, like, suspect one. I would have played it dumb, too. Just, what?
No, I can't believe this.
I would never. I have the worst poker face, and so if I did do something like that, like, immediately would have owned up to it. But, yeah, I...
Remind me not to have you as an accomplice to murder.
No, I, like... Yeah, I probably wouldn't be the best for that either. Like, I like to think I'd be sneaky enough, but I think the guilt would just eat away at me really bad.
Well, apparently I'm going solo. Shit.
But yeah, so, like, the dog's death made sense because it was in protection of Megan. The dog was a threat. Megan put it down. The neighbor, like herself, when she was killed, it was also in protection of Megan. She made a threat, like, I know what she did, like, I'm on to you, like, you better hope I don't get my hands on you. Immediate threat, Megan took her down. And, it's once you initiate that, like, okay, that's why, then you can get as creative as you want with the kills. And that's why I really like the freaking pressure washer. I think they could have gone a little bit more fun with that.
That's fair.
But not super upset because it was still freaking brutal and just like, oh, shit.
I still feel, though, if we're, like, talking about, like, the... let's say if we're talking about, like, the Child's Play and Megan, like, deaths compared, I still feel that this one didn't have as cool of a death as Child's Play did with the whole Christmas lights with the, like, the snowblower.
Yeah,
that was a really cool death.
That one was really cool. This is why I think the movie should have been rated R, because I feel like they restricted themselves.
They really did. Yeah, like, even if, because this movie made, like, over $100 million with a $20 million budget, I still feel if it was rated R, it still would have either come closer or even exceeded that. Cause, like, freaking look at all the Halloween movies that came out past, like, 5 years. Halloween 2018 made for 15 to 20 million, grossed over 200 million. And then, Halloween Kills and Ends were made One was made for 20, the other one was made for 30. Both grossed over 100 million. All rated R. So
I think most people, like, even I thought it was rated R when we went into it.
Or I swear that it was like rated R up until like a couple months before it came out. Like, I swear that was the plan, but then they decided, oh no, let's go back and edit out some of the blood and make this PG-13.
Yeah, I think they could have gotten a lot more violent if they wanted to.
I would love to see an unrated version.
That would be great.
I would love that. I hope they do that, because I want to see these deaths fully play out. I hate when they cut away on deaths.
Yeah, there's definitely some that I feel they needed to, like when Megan freaking chased that dude that kid into traffic.
Yeah, fair.
And that, like, if that one, I'm surprised they got away with that.
Yes.
In a PG-13. So for those of you that haven't seen it, like, Megan goes all freaking four-legged beast on this kid after ripping off his ear.
Can we talk about that? Why did she have to run on all fours?
She didn't.
Yeah, it kind of looked dumb.
I think it was more to scare the living shit out of the kid.
I'd be more intimidating if, like, someone is, like, running at me, like, full speed, not on all fours, just two legs. Like, I don't know. I feel you have to put in more effort if running on all fours.
I think something fun that they could have done in regards to that is have her, like, go friggin' spider monkey and climb up a tree and then jump from, like, tree to tree, because that, like, shit like that scares the ever-living hell out of me. Like, hell, even when, like, I know we're not talking about it, but the Guardians of the Galaxy holiday special, when Mantis was jumping through Kevin Bacon's house. You haven't seen it?
No, I still haven't watched it.
You son of a bitch.
I'm sorry. I never got a chance to watching it this past Christmas, and, like, I feel like I'm too late for it, but at the same time, I need to watch it before Guardians 3, so.
We need to watch that.
Okay. I'm
down. And I understand that it is, like, the end of July, but I feel my Christmas, January.
What?
Yeah, we just recorded this like 6 months in advance. No, like my Christmas cutoff is once we enter October, then it's spooky season.
Okay, I agree.
And then, like, anytime before then, Christmas themed stuff is okay. Like, it's not, I'm not, like, actively going to seek out watching, like, a Christmas movie in the middle, but, like, I wanted to watch Violent Night with Brielle. We might do that.
Yeah, did you see it's on a...
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, so we might end up doing that. Yeah. But, so, I mean, that's okay in my book, in my, like, Christmas book. But it's like, once October comes, no freaking Christmas. Okay. October has to come and go. November, like, it's the day after Thanksgiving is when Christmas is okay.
See, I'm a jackass in the fact that Christmas music starts November 1st for me.
Boo, you loser.
It's my favorite part of the holiday season, and it brings me joy, so kiss my ass.
Dude, it makes Christmas too long.
And gray, and considering I have to listen to Christmas music 8 hours a day at my job, maybe I should stop.
Yeah, like, I like to enjoy my Christmas time. And, like, this just kind of solidified my thought process on it. Because after Thanksgiving, like, I didn't, like, the day after Thanksgiving, I was freaking watching Christmas movies, and it was fantastic. Like, I didn't feel overwhelmed. Like, there was definitely somewhere, like, near the end of the month where I'm just like, oh, gosh, I need to watch all of these. Because there are some that are just, like, I couldn't watch this any other time of the year.
Okay.
Movies. Like, I watched Fred Claus, which that was actually really freaking funny.
I really love that movie.
There were some I missed out on, like, Bad Santa, but I feel like that one you can watch anytime.
Cute. Oh, my God. Yeah. I love that.
Yeah. So there's definitely some that I missed out on, but I'm going to save Bad Santa for this holiday or this Christmas season.
Yeah, you should. Okay, so you haven't seen both, right?
No, I haven't seen either.
Okay. The first one is way better than the second. But I still like the second one just because it's great seeing Billy Bob Thornton come back for this role.
Yeah. But yeah, I have a holiday cutoff, and it's not until like October.
Okay. So then it's okay if we watch it in January.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Well,
especially that one, because you missed out on something fantastic.
Okay.
And I feel not without having that in like your in context, you're kind of going to be confused come volume 3.
You know what? Actually, this might be a blessing because it'll get one of my coworkers to shut up. Literally every single day that we work together. Have you watched it yet? No. Why not? Because Christmas is over. So? Okay, fine.
Gosh. But yeah. So we'll have to check that one out. Okay. But so anyway, so getting back on topic, like there's that scene. Like I would have preferred her do that rather than just running on all fours, because that was just weird.
It was, but oh well.
Yeah, but I mean that scene made sense because the kid was bullying Katie. Then
what a dick.
Yeah, freaking growth spurt piece of shit.
Forget, although that scene was freaking funny. The like, so the kid's mom, like, it's just like, oh yeah, you know, like he's, what she say? Like, oh, he's trying to fit in, he's trying to do better. And all of a sudden she like asks him something and he just says, fuck you, whoever his mom's name is. And she's just like, well, you know, what a simple no would have been, would have sufficed.
Jeez. So good. So freaking good. But I mean, story-wise, it was a really solid story. It definitely felt a little Child's Play knockoff-y.
True.
I think it added a little bit of its own flavor to make it seem like it was something different.
Yeah.
But, I mean, when you kind of break it down to its bare bones, that's pretty much what it was.
Yeah.
But it was good. Like, yeah. Solid pacing. The kills were cool. Nothing really fell out of place. The only kill that I say fell out of place was the CEO death.
Yeah, that's fair, because like, he didn't do anything to Megan for her, or anything to Katie.
Yeah.
To warrant him getting killed. But honestly, he seemed like a good guy. Like, he was just trying to do his job.
Wait, which one are you talking about? Are you talking about the boss?
Yeah. Wait, which one are you talking about?
Yeah, I'm talking about the boss. Like, yeah. The CEO, the one that was, like, pushing for the release of... Okay, I thought you were talking about, like, the... What's-her-face's lab partner.
No.
Okay. Yeah, like, he didn't seem bad. He just kind of seemed a little... Maybe, like, a little greedy CEO, yeah. But nothing too horrible.
Yeah. He didn't deserve to die.
Yeah.
His assistant, maybe...
Yeah, well, his assistant was stealing company secrets, so that's...
I don't know, maybe it's just me, because there's a scene where the assistant is, like, transferring all the Megan files onto a flash drive to, you know, of course, sell to other companies, and when the CEO walks up, he quickly, like, slams the computer and, like, looks up at him, like, oh, shit, you caught me kind of face, and the CEO is just like, oh, were you, like, on Pornhub or some shit? He's just like, no. I'm just like... Maybe it's just me, but I would have asked to see that laptop.
Dude, me too.
Someone would have given me that look. I'm like, no, give me that. There's something up with you.
It's like, I'm just going to take that. Like, or I would have pushed, like, you have to do something to make yourself seem not so suspicious. Like, if I would have gone up, like, same situation, walked up, dude slams the computer shut, and I'm like, at, like, started off with the same question, like, dude, you're not looking at, like, Pornhub again, are you? If he would have said no, hand it over, yeah. if he would have owned up to it, but like, knock it off, dude, and then we would have gone about our day. I probably wouldn't have been super suspicious of it had he owned up to it.
Yeah. Did he, like, was the flash drive still in the computer? Did he pull it out really quickly and then pocket it?
That I can't recall. I think he just shut the computer.
Okay.
Because it seemed...
Yeah, I think you're right. Because if he would have done that, oh my God, that would have been such a dead giveaway, I feel.
Yeah.
Pocketing a flash drive that fast.
Why does that assistant have access to those files, though? They were locked.
Yes. Yeah, seriously.
Like, the
file have access.
The file was locked.
Yeah. Honestly, the only people that should have access are Gemma and this...
the CEO.
Yeah.
And not, like, her lab...
that are working on the actual project. Yeah, that makes sense. But not the freaking system to the CEO.
Yeah, that's bullshit.
Yeah. Whatever.
All right, what are you thinking for a story?
Like I said, I had a really good time with this one. So, 82?
82 is not bad. I might go a hair higher. I'm going at like an 84, not too much higher, but I think I enjoyed it just a hair more than maybe you did. All right, next up we got writing.
This one's pretty solid too.
This one's really well written.
Yeah. Like how I talked about earlier, the part where Gemma sits down with Katie and it's just like I know you love Megan, but she is literally just a coping mechanism for you right now. You literally lost your parents. You lost your parents. The worst thing that a child your age can go through. She is absolutely right. When you're that young, that is the worst thing that can happen to you. Especially if you were in the situation that they died in.
Yep.
That's even worse. So it's like those lines just... there's like a lot of like heartfelt like lines that were written for this movie. Like even like when they're doing the whole presentation for like the big bosses of Funky, it's Funky, right?
Yeah.
Okay. How like because you know Katie's emotions get the better of her and she starts crying instead of like acting like how she's not following the script like she was supposed to be like doing something with Megan. Megan, you know, comes over. She comforts her. Katie tells her this memory, and then, Megan actually like records it, and she says, you know, I'll always keep that. And when you want to like hear a story about your mom and like remember that she's always with you, that is such good writing right there. And I freaking love it. Like Megan can do that shit. That is so freaking cool.
Yeah, dude, that it. How well that would have sold me on like an AI companion robot.
Yeah, right?
Like if I were one of those bigwig investors, like that would have sold me in a freaking heartbeat.
Yeah. I'm like, okay, so this doll can actually really feel. Yep, I'm sold. Sign the check.
Yeah, right? No joke. And it was interesting too. Like what I really appreciated about the writing too is Gemma, like she was pushing forward with Megan because of like what Katie said, like, oh, if I had this toy, I wouldn't need another toy ever again. Like, okay, cool. And so she pushes forward with the Megan project and then starts kind of getting blinded by what this success would mean for her. And then it's like the therapist that points out, like, she's growing an attachment to this doll and not you. Like, what's your purpose if this doll is doing everything that you should be doing? And I'm just like, shit, you're right, though.
Can we talk about, though, the scene where the therapist comes over for the first time and, you know, Katie's just like, oh, I don't have any toys to, you know, like, showcase. And she's like, oh, what about those? Oh, no, those are collectibles. And Gemma's just like, oh, no, she can play with them. And, like, it freaking hurt me when she had to, like, rip open the tape that was, like, kept it sealed and everything. I'm like, oh, I know that hurt you as much as it hurt me.
Dude, I hated the freaking therapist at first.
She was...
I'm just like, you seriously don't understand, Like, it seemed like she was judging Gemma for having collectible toys.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, like, we can play with something else. She has toys in the garage, you bitch.
Yeah. There's nothing wrong with a grown person having toys as collectibles. There's nothing wrong with it.
Yeah, and for those of you freaking, like, old people that think otherwise, have fun with your model trains, pieces of shit.
Dude, straight up. Seriously.
Like, it was so stupid that she was judging her because she wouldn't let her play with these, like, collectibles. And then not even giving her the chance, like, here, I just want to see you roll a ball. Freaking go screw yourself. Where'd you get your therapy license online?
Yeah, the fact that she wouldn't let Gemma show Katie how it actually, like, worked. And she wanted to show her. She was like, oh, that's not all it can do. It can actually do something. It's like, no, this is fine. Let's just keep rolling it back to each other. I'm like.
Gemma's comments, though, were freaking hilarious. Yeah, I guess we'll just roll this super cool collectible like a damn tennis ball.
Yeah, that was great.
I want to know what that toy was, though.
I do, too.
It kind of looked like a Bakugan.
It did. Oh, God.
Like one of those big-ass ones.
Yeah. Dude, I remember when Bakugan was such a rage.
Did you have any?
No.
Oh, I had one. But I wasn't even super into Bakugan. Like, I had a friend that was super into it, and he gifted me one.
Oh, okay.
I think I might have it somewhere. I don't know where, though. Nice.
I love it.
But yeah, I freaking hated the therapist. Like, the therapist didn't start, like, winning me over until later. Like, when she was pointing out, like, what Gemma was doing with Megan.
Yeah. Then I started to warm up to her a little bit.
Yeah, there was, like, a little bit of, like, okay, like, you kind of know what the hell you're doing.
Yeah.
Like, but it's just, like, that initial meeting was funky.
Yeah.
So, poof. Trying to think of anything else. Like, the CEO was pretty well written. Like, kind of had that greedy vibe to him, but he wasn't, like, a typical villain. So, like we said, he didn't quite feel like he deserved to die.
Yeah.
It's just, yeah. Like, he was, like, a decent guy, just kind of doing his job.
Yeah, just, it honestly sucked that he died. Like, I didn't.
A little bit, right? And it's just, it was unnecessary. It was, like, one of those things that was just unnecessary to Megan's mission.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it would have been, like, he needed to pose a threat.
She's not Michael Myers to where he literally just kills to kill. Like, he doesn't care if you're good or bad. Megan, she has she's supposed to have a reason why she is killing the people she is.
Yeah. I understood, like, there was a lot that I understood. I understood her attacking the two people in the lab because she needed to escape. And they weren't going to, like, just quit, so she needed to friggin' incapacitate them.
Yeah.
So, completely understood that. It's just, she went through all the trouble of hunting and tracking down the CEO and then, like, using him, that death as a distraction to escape. I'm like, you probably could have just thrown some sunglasses on and walked out of the building.
Yeah, it's true. Very true.
Like, that, it's just unnecessary. Yeah, what'd you think of writing overall, though?
I actually might be a little higher with writing. I just go 85.
That is honestly about where I'm at, too. So I'll go 85. All right, next up we got acting. So our cast, Gemma, is played by Allison Williams. Katie is played by Violet McGraw. Ronnie Chang plays the CEO of Funky. His name's David. And then we have two people that technically played Megan. We have Amy Donald, who I'm assuming did all the dancing stuff.
Yeah, so I'm assuming the way that they did it is that, like, she wore, like, a mask that, like, looked like a doll mask, but, like, everything else that was, it's actually her. Like, I'm sure they put, like, you know, like, doll gloves on her or some shit like that just to, like, make her look like a doll, but it's actually a real person.
Yeah, just to get, like, that fluid motion.
Yeah, which, honestly, I think that was actually a really good idea.
Yeah, I see.
I still believe that she was a doll.
Mm-hmm.
AI doll.
And then we have Jenna Davis, who provided the voice of Megan.
Excellent choice for a voice. She did great.
She was perfect.
Yeah.
As the voice of Megan. Like, she had just that almost kind of a monotone way about, like, almost like Siri. She sounded like Siri.
Yeah, she did.
Like a young Siri. Like, she has, like, that proper inflection in her voice. Like, you can hear, like, the different, like, emotions that she was expressing. But then she had those times where she sounded very robotic. Yeah. And it was really cool.
Yeah, it was.
And funny enough, I feel like she looks more like Megan than...
Yeah, she does. But she's probably just too tall or too old, too.
Yeah, probably that. What's your top three look like?
And see, because I don't know how I would do a top three with Megan, considering that one did the voice and one did the actions.
Well, this was a puppet for the most of the movie.
That's true.
So, I mean, I personally would go voice over body.
Yeah. Okay. So, if that's the case, I would give... So, I would actually give number three to Ronnie Chang, played David. I really enjoyed his performance. I thought he did a really great job. Two, I would give to Allison Williams, who played Gemma. Loved her in this. I think this is the first movie I've seen her in. I don't think I've seen anything else with her in it. Freaking, she was fantastic. I actually want to see more of her in the future. And then, yeah, number one, I got to give to Jenna Davis then, the voice of Megan, because, oh my God, I freaking loved her. She was so good. Just, like, the way, especially, I don't know what it is, the way at the towards the ending when Katie turns on her and she's just like, you little bitch.
The way she oh my said gosh, it. Dude.
That was great.
I loved her voice. She's my top spot as well. Oh, yeah. It was just, like, she was so threatening. Like, I loved when she was talking to Gemma after, like, Gemma was, like, almost decommissioned her. And when Katie comes out and she's just like, hey, what's going on? And she's just like, go back to bed. And then she's like, if she comes over here, I'll rip your effing head off. Like, I swear to, like, I was like, oh, damn.
And the fact that she's just like, what was she like? Katie, don't come in here. I don't want you to see me like this, all taken apart.
Yeah, like, it was that. And, like, like I said, the damn, I'll rip your
head off. And it's like, God damn. Katie, we get it all. Jeez.
Like, freaking hell. Dude, that was so freaking good, though. It was such a good line.
It really was.
Oh. Yeah, I freaking loved that. So, yeah, Jenna Davis has my top spot, and it's solely because of that one line. Just the like, I don't know. I love when people, like, my favorite trope when it comes to, like, a joke is when someone's talking normal or maybe, like, or, like, talking to someone in another room, like, oh, I'm coming right in, and then, like, whisper something. I mean, like, that's my favorite type of joke. And
it is funny.
It's kind of, like, the only thing I can, like, think of off the top of my head to compare it to is, like, Deadpool 2. When they're in the plane with X-Force And he's talking to, oh, what's his name? Teddy?
Yeah, I think it's Teddy.
Yeah, and he's just like, I don't know, where he's like yelling at Teddy, and then he's just like, I didn't mean to yell, baby bear, and like,
yeah.
Like, you're my favorite, like, never change. Like, I love shit like that. And so, like, they just pulled one of my favorite tropes out, and it's, I have so many of those, like, super specific tropes. Like I said, with, like, the Mario trailer, where it's just, like, the whole, when they're, like, doing this attack, and it seems super epic, and it's just, like, no damage is being done. Like, when the penguins are throwing the snowballs, and then he just doubles down, like, now that you have tasted our fury, you yield. Like, I freaking love that. Then, like, the whole, like, yelling or just speaking, like, out loud and then whispering something just insane.
Yeah.
Like, love that shit. My number two, I actually might give to Allison Williams, too. I thought she gave an amazing performance. Like, it felt like her intentions were pure, and then everything just kind of, like, shifted. You could tell that she was, like, being guilted and doing shit that she didn't want to do, like the being there to help make sandwiches for that school session. And then, I don't know, she pulled off the person that seems, like, obsessed with their work really, really well.
And yeah, absolutely agree.
Came off friggin', like, flawless in her knowledge of, like, all things robotic. Like, it was really impressive. My number three, though, I think I'm going to give to Violet McGraw, who plays Katie, because I wasn't sure how I was going to like her at first, because she just kind of seemed very distant.
She did. And I mean, I don't, now that I'm thinking of that, now that I'm, like, thinking about her performance, I actually might change her to my three and then him to my four. I might match her actually for our top three, just because, like, sorry to steal your spotlight here.
No, go ahead.
But no, like, I agree with you. Like, the whole, like, she seems, like, very, you know, like, distant, very quiet. When you think about that, it's kind of understandable, you know, with her losing her parents literally right in front of her. I mean, yeah, she went through the accident as well, but imagine, like, waking up in a hospital and literally, you know, like, I think she, wasn't she, didn't she have, like, a neck brace on everything when she was in the hospital bed? And having to hear, oh, yeah, you're the only one that survived. Your parents didn't make it. So, you know, I don't blame her. I would have been distant, too. But, yeah, no, this is your acting, so you go ahead.
No, like, you freaking nailed it. It was a really solid performance. Like, she felt like she was genuinely having fun with Megan, and then super emotionally distraught when Megan was taken away. And I think she could have easily gone for, like, a really cheesy performance, but she just, like I said, knocked it out of the freaking park. Like, didn't feel super cheesy. It felt like how a kid would actually react. So, and I feel like you don't get that genuineness from child actors. Yeah, like, I think there's always just that sense of, like, oh, they're acting, like, you know, they're acting. And with her performance, she transcended that, like, went to a place where it didn't feel like she was acting.
Yes.
And it was friggin' awesome.
I agree.
All right, what are you thinking with acting?
I think I might be, like, a tad below writing, just because it was still really good. I'm just trying to think if, like, any extras maybe brought it down.
I feel like the only one that brought it down for me was the neighbor.
That's fair.
The neighbor was just a little too over the top.
Yeah, I can definitely agree with you on that one. So
83.
It's not bad.
I might be a little higher. The neighbor didn't affect me too much. I think there was definitely some things that I'm just like, okay, freaking, like, walking around with her dog's dish bowl in the middle of the freaking night.
Yeah.
Like, that seems just a tad excessive.
I thought she did that in the morning.
Well, whenever she did it, it was freaking dark as shit outside.
Yeah. True. Yeah, that is true. I forgot about that.
Also, if she gave the vibes that she lived by herself, so I would like to know who the hell called the police when she died.
True. I mean, I think I can kind of excuse the whole, like, holding your dog's dish and, you know, like, calling out for them that late. I mean, when you do love your pet that much, like, I'm not gonna lie, I'd probably do something like that for my cat. If I can find Alexander.
A day or two after they went missing?
I thought that was the same day.
I thought it was a... No. Because she... So, Megan killed the dog. She called the cops. Okay, I guess it was that night then. Yeah, it was that night.
Okay.
Because she... So, Megan killed the dog. Then... Was it the dog and then the kid, or was it the dog neighbor kid?
I think it was the dog first. The dog was her first.
Yeah, I know that the dog was the first, but was it kid or neighbor first?
I swear it was kid first.
Okay, so if that's the case, then, yeah, dog went missing, quote unquote, kid died, the cops come to her house, I think the next day.
Yeah.
So, and, like, and ask, him, like, for the dog. Yeah. And then I think it's that night that she's going around, like, shaking the dog bowl. So it's a day or two after.
I thought that was, like, the dog bowl was the same night. It was the fact that, like, the following day or the day after was when she... thought that she had something to do with it.
When Gemma thought?
No, when the neighbor thought that Gemma had something to do with it. That's
yeah, no, so Gemma, so the neighbor called the police and then said that Gemma had something to do with it. And then it was that night that she was going around shaking the bowl. So it was a day, I'd say maybe a day or two after the dog went missing.
Pay attention to your pet, lady.
Yeah. So, first night.
For 5 minutes.
Yeah. So, first night, definitely walking around with the dog food and shit, calling out for the dog. Okay. Definitely. Yeah. Like, as a pet owner, that's what I would do.
Yeah.
Doing it two nights in a row, probably not.
Unfortunately, you might be giving yourself false hope at that point.
Yeah, it's understandable to a certain degree, just a little outside of the realm of normalcy. But anyway, like I said,
Casey, you don't want to see me when if
Alexander goes missing.
Yeah, dude, you don't want to. Yeah, just gonna put it that way.
Yeah, so, I mean, that didn't bother me too much, so I might be a little higher. I think I'm at, like, 86 for acting. All right, next up we got Logic, with this being a horror movie and whatnot.
I would say it was pretty solid. The way that they set up how Megan works, how once she's connected to her, her not companion, but her the child that she's paired with, that she's supposed to put all of her focus into, the way that they set that up, the way that they made sense, that, you know, like, the more time that she spends with the kid, the more that she learns, the more that she adapts, the more, like, honestly, her programming just gets better. I thought they did a really good job with that. And because of that, with, you know, like, her wanting to protect Katie, it made sense, except for the one that we pointed out, the boss, it made sense why the people she targeted and unfortunately the dog to kill. It made sense.
Yeah. I think the only things that were maybe outside of the realm of possibility for me was her ability to hijack that car, that super conveniently placed car.
Yeah, seriously, though.
It was one of those push-to-start, like, Lambo cars. And
of course it was.
Yeah, and yeah, so she was able to, like, hijack that. And so that's where I felt maybe Child's Play did it a little bit better. Because, like, with the Child's Play, he was taking over... What was the big company?
Caslin.
Yeah. So he was taking over Caslin products. And Caslin just was like the bigwig in this world where there were Caslin cars, Caslin toasters, Caslin everything. But in this, she just seemed to be taking over everything.
Yeah.
Which,
that's not fair.
Yeah, that's extremely unfair.
Freaking, I got the, I'm thinking of the scene in Monster House when, like, Chowder thinks that they've all won. He's just, and the house, like, takes, like, just, like, rebuilds itself. And he's just like, you can't do that. That's not fair.
Yeah, so a little outside of the realm of possibility for me on that one.
I can definitely.
I think it's tough to, like, justify some of those things that she was able to access. Like, it made sense that she was doing, like, an updated learning anytime she was connected to the system, but I think she got to a point where she was, like, wireless. Like, yes, she's learning, but I don't think she should have had access to, like, such a degree of tech.
That's fair.
Like, I think it should have been limited to just, like, internet knowledge. And
yeah.
I don't know. Like, it's... I think they needed to set up just something else where it made sense that these cars were being taken over. Or these other technological things were being taken over. Like, how, like, it's like the whole justification of how she was able to enter Gemma's home AI system. And yeah, I think they just needed a little bit of work on that. Everything else, though, like, if you kind of set that aside, everything else worked pretty decent.
It did.
I absolutely agree. Yeah. For me, logically, might be at like a 79.
I'll match on that one.
All right, next up we got effects.
I feel just because they didn't go the route of using like CGI in like some parts, because I felt that like all of this was... It was all practical. I didn't really see any parts that were CGI'd. Correct me if I'm wrong.
I didn't.
Okay.
Like, other than maybe the big-ass robot.
Yeah.
But even that looked really freaking good.
It did. So, like all of... All of Megan's movements, like, looked really good when it had to be the actress that played her, like, body form. When it had to be her running, or even like the dancing, or when she did her killing, it looked really good. It looked like she still looked like an AI robot even in that motion. Like, I still believe that she was still just a toy.
I'd be willing to bet that they just slapped a mask on her, like a puppeteered mask.
That's what I'm thinking. Yeah, just the mask, and then probably like some like doll glove hands.
Yeah, like some silicone gloves.
And just called it good.
Yeah. I wouldn't doubt it if they did.
I would have honestly done the same thing. You save money. Mm-hmm. And the little girl still made it look very believable.
Yeah, it looked really freaking good.
Yeah. I feel that because of that, this is where this movie's effects kind of has a one-up on, like, maybe the remake of Child's Play, because you can definitely tell that that movie didn't have the budget for some scenes that they had to do with Chucky.
Yeah.
But I'm not knocking that movie down at all, because really, really good reboot or remake, whatever. No, it is a remake. It's not a reboot. But getting back to Emma, Megan, I don't know why I'm thinking Emma here. Getting back to Megan, yeah, all the effects were really good. Megan looked fantastic. Very creepy, especially when she's just sitting in Katie's room at night, just like freaking staring into the darkness. I'm like, hell no.
Yeah, that was a tough sell for me.
I don't know, maybe it's just me, but you good?
Yep.
If I was a...
We good? We good?
If maybe it's just me, but if I was Katie, considering that when you say Megan turn off, she shuts down, she like puts her head down and closes her eyes, I would have been doing that every single night. Because I don't need freaking her just staring at me while I sleep.
Yep.
I'm good. What were your thoughts on effects?
I mean, the only thing that I noticed that was like visibly CGI was maybe the dog. And
that's
fair. It was only, yeah. Like, it wasn't necessarily like the dog attacking was real and everything. Like, that looked, I mean, it could have not been. Like, if it wasn't, I consider me impressed.
Yeah.
But what I'm thinking of is when the dog was lured by Megan, that's when the dog looked fake.
That's
fair. And it wasn't even super noticeable, because I knew, I'm just like, okay, there's a certain way dogs react when, even when they're like the most trained. You can't train a dog to just kind of like be sleeping and open its eyes a little bit, and then like, you can't train a dog to do what it did. I don't think. At least you can't teach it to act.
I mean, you've had experience with training a dog, so I trust your opinion.
Yeah, I've never trained a dog to like.
Well, didn't you train Charlie on a lot of stuff? I thought you did.
No, well, I'm talking like to a professional level, like where I don't think you could teach a dog to like pretend to be asleep.
Or someone's gonna be like, ha, bet.
Yeah, I know you could do like play dead or whatever with dogs, but there's just a certain level of like skill that I don't think dogs have. And so that's why I think, like, okay, this was definitely CGI.
That's fair. That's fair.
But it looked, so, like, I recognized, like, when they were starting to do that, I'm like, okay, this is probably a CGI dog. And I was trying to, like, pinpoint what they were doing. But it was really hard to see. Like, I barely noticed that it was CGI. So, freaking props to whoever design that dog. But yeah, like you said, Megan looked fantastic through everything. Like, there was nothing that I felt like, oh, that's super fake. Like, there's stuff that I thought was weird, like when she was like running on all fours, but that looked real.
Yeah. Like, even when she's like getting like torn apart, where like half her face is ripped off and you can see like her, like, all of her wires and everything, and like half of her hair is ripped off, it still looked really good.
Yeah, it looked really freaking good. Like, nothing on that looked fake.
No.
It was wild.
Yeah. Like, they did a great job.
Yeah, and then I feel like using puppets is an underused art in movies now.
I agree.
Like, I know that they used to use them a lot, like, way back when, like, before they had CGI. But I think if you combine a mixture of CGI with a practical puppet, you cannot go wrong.
It's true. I can definitely agree with that.
Yeah, so my effects aren't the highest, but I think I definitely cracked 90.
Oh yeah, same here.
You put a 9 instead of
whoops.
I was like, damn, it's that low, huh? I think that would be the lowest score that we've ever given.
Yeah, probably.
All right, moving on over to music. What'd you think?
I mean, nothing really stood out. Like, I mean, it made sense. Or, okay, the score was put into the parts that it needed to, like when it needed to be intense, the music was intense. All the classic trope when it comes to movie soundtracks or movie scores. But, like, nothing really impressed me. So, like, me personally, I'm at a 6.
That's fair. Or I think I might be a little higher, so I'm going to be at like a 7. Okay. So which doesn't matter because we average or we round down.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So no, it's fine. Like I completely justifiable, but I think what bumped it up for me was the songs that Megan was singing. Cause those were creepy as shit, dude.
I forgot about that. Okay, if you want to bump it up to a 7, I'm cool with that.
Yeah?
Yeah. I totally forgot about those. Oh yeah, just for
that. That's why I was fine with you giving it a 6, because it's like they're like I remembered them, but they are kind of easy to forget.
But still, I think that it still deserves a 7 because of that. I totally forgot about that. I feel bad that you're having to do this one hand.
There we go.
Yeah.
All right, so we bumped that up to a 7. Next up, costumes. Megan looked really freaking good.
She really did. I really like the design that they went with her. Because honestly, I feel that, you know, when you think of like, you know, like killer dolls, of course you think of Chucky with, you know, like the classic overalls, the striped shirt. Megan, I feel, is definitely going to be easily recognizable with the big black bow that she has.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And then just the big loose fitting dress too. Like, I've already seen people like cosplaying as her, and I'm able to freaking pinpoint that shit.
It's easy to tell that. Oh yep, that's Megan.
Yeah, so she has a great look about her. Like, it's simple, it makes sense, it's creepy, but in a cute way, I guess.
That's a good way to put it.
It's just, it's like one of those so cute, it's creepy things.
Yeah, there we go.
And it's unsettling. And like, the freaking cosplayers that I've seen trying to pull off a like the Megan look, like, they do so well at it. And most of them, they don't even, like, perfectly match the dress. They just match the look. Yeah. Like, they mix and match and everything, and I'm like, that's freaking Megan. And it, so I think, depending on how well this movie, like, performs, which it's doing pretty well so far. And I think if they, like, freaking knock it out of the park with the next movie and kind of keep with that same look and everything, I think we have, like, our next horror icon on our hands.
We got our next Annabelle.
Exactly. Couldn't have thought of anything better. Like, exactly.
But at least this one can actually, you know, like, talk and move. She has movements that we can actually see.
Yeah. And I think just because of her, like, everyone else is like fairly average costumes. It's just, yeah, it's everyday wear, like, nothing too extravagant about it. This one's tough. Like, because it's like, how much do we like Megan? Because I'm like, really I'm between an 8 and a 9. So I'll go whatever, wherever you go.
I was going to just say the same thing. I'll go whichever direction you go.
I actually want to go a 9, honestly.
I'll give you a 9. I have no issues doing that.
Look was that good.
All right, last up, we got our own personal score.
Do you want to start?
I can take it. I had a really good time with this freaking movie. It was fun. It was funny at times. It's kind of the same way that I feel about Better Watch Out. It's just one of those movies that just kind of subverts your expectations, but in a really good way. I will say I do like Better Watch Out a little bit better, but this is a movie that I definitely see myself rewatching just because it's that fun. For me, I think this is a better Child's Play if we're talking like the updated like AI Chucky.
Oh, like it's better than the remake.
Yeah.
Dude, I absolutely agree.
Like, I freaking loved it. I had such a good time with this one. This is one that I'm like, I want more Megan. With Child's Play, I was just like, I could take it or leave it. But this is one that I want more of. And I hope that we do. I hope we get lots more Megan shit because Megan's freaking dope.
Yeah. She absolutely is.
So my personal score, I think I'm going to give it an 87.
So actually, I'm going to match you on that. Because, yeah, I loved it that much as well. Yeah, literally everything Caleb said. This is like one of the best killer doll movies I've seen. She's up there with Chucky. Chucky's still superior, in my opinion. He'll always be the best killer doll. But Megan has definitely joined like the top three of best killer dolls ever, because she's creepy, but she's freaking fantastic. This is a movie that knows that it's a campy horror movie, but it embraces it, and I love it for that. It doesn't try to be too serious. It's serious when it needs to be, with the, you know, whole Katie's parents dying in that car accident, and, you know, Katie dealing with that trauma. And when it needs to be serious like that, it does a very great job. It doesn't try to, like, dumb that down for people, or, like, not make fun of it. But, I don't know where else I was going with that. But anyway, I'm definitely going to match Caleb with that 87.
All right. Well, that concludes this breakdown of Megan. So going through the categories, starting off with story, we are sitting at a very strong 83. Writing got bumped up to an 85. Acting scored half a point lower, sitting at an 84.5. The logic of this movie is probably the lowest category that we gave, other than music, but we gave logic a 79. The effects were fantastic, scoring at a 90. The music is sitting at a 7, where it was decent, but not anything mind-boggling. Costumes were sitting at a 9 because of Megan's iconic look. And then our personal score averaged out to an 87. So with that, the final All Bros letter grade for Megan has come out to a...
I'm not going to drum roll because I don't want to mess up my mic. What is it?
It's sitting at a B. You could have just done it on your lap or something.
You know what? I didn't think of that. I feel the way that I approached it was better anyway. It was funnier.
Sure. But yeah, Megan is sitting at a pretty decent B. All right, yeah. So it's sitting at an 84.8. 0.81%. Yeah, not bad at all. So let's see where this ended up ranking. Okay. So, like we said, Megan is sitting at an 84.81. That puts it above The Matrix Resurrections, which is at an 84.7.
Be very interested to see DJ's thoughts on that.
DJ doesn't like Resurrections as much as...
That's the third one, right?
No, Resurrections is the fourth.
Oh, can you blame him? I can't even remember the actual, like, names of the movies, so that just shows you how much I like the Matrix franchise.
That's rough.
Sorry.
Let's see. It's above Christopher Robin, which is at an 84.56. It is above Prey, which is at an 84.43. It's also above Avengers Age of Ultron, which is at an 84.37.
Blasphemy. Oh, I'm just kidding.
I actually like this a lot better than Age of Ultron.
I have a soft spot for Age of Ultron just because, shocker, it's because, you know, Hawkeye actually gets a backstory.
Jeez, you're just a freaking Hawkeye whore, dude.
How long have you known me? And you're just finding this out now?
Oh, and then finally it is above Solo, A Star Wars Story, which is at an 84.21. Going the opposite direction, it is sitting below The Oath, which is at an 85%.
Okay, remind me, that's that Thanksgiving movie, right?
Yes.
Okay, just
that.
Sure.
Yeah, that movie was friggin' funny.
Yeah, that was a good one.
It is also sitting below Hocus Pocus, which is also at an 85.
That's fair. I love the first one.
It is below The Lion King, which is at an 85.1, and this is the live-action remake.
And that's brilliant. Pissed a lot of people off.
Yeah. It is below The Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent, which is at an 85.37. And then finally, it is below Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone, which is at an 85.43.
Not bad.
Yeah, not bad at all. I think it has a decent home.
Yeah, I would agree.
I think maybe the only one that I would make an argument about would maybe be Prey.
Fair.
But I think it has a decent home. It's... Yeah, that's like the only one that I would like disagree with. Like, even looking through at the rest of the list, I'm like, yeah, this is like exactly where it needs to be.
I totally disagree with The Matrix Resurrections.
Yeah.
Just kidding.
It's a 0.1%. It's not even a full 0.1% difference. Or actually, yeah, it is.
Ha.
But
did I ever tell you that I actually had to go back and rewatch almost like the whole movie of that before we reviewed it, because I think when I watched it first, the last thing that I remember before I fell asleep was when Trini and Neo meet again in the coffee shop. Wasn't that a coffee shop?
Yeah.
And then I woke up to them like jumping off a building. Like,
here, I missed some steps.
Like, whoa, they're reunited? Okay.
Just wake up. Ah, shit. I missed something.
Yeah, a whole hour and a half. Actually, it was probably more than that. Wasn't that movie long?
It was a really long movie.
Probably over 2 hours that I missed. Anyway,
hilarious.
Shows you how much I liked that movie.
Oh, man.
But yeah, unless you have anything else you want to say about Megan.
Nope.
Okay, well, I'd say that concludes this episode. If you like this episode and you want to hear more, be sure to subscribe to us wherever you listen to podcasts. We are damn near everywhere. Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, the whole shebang. If you want to follow us on our social media platforms, where you can also DM us if you want to be on any of our episodes or you have an episode idea, you can find us at facebook.com/TheAllBros. Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok at The All Bros. Or if you want to email us, if that's your preferred way to get in contact us, you can email us at theallbroschannel@gmail.com. You can also check out our website, tinyurl.com/theallbros. And you can check out our merch store, which I'm totally forgetting the link for that. Do you know it off the top of your head?
No.
So it's on TeePublic. If you just search up The All Bros, or...
I haven't updated TeePublic in so long.
Is it TeePublic or Teespring? That
So Teespring is the route that we go now, but I haven't updated our website in a really long time. Yeah, I need to. It's just one of those things that's like super intimidating because I'm starting from scratch and we are 257 episodes in. So that's like 257 different artworks that I'd have to upload. And it's just one of those things I'm like, do I really want to?
Yeah, that's fair, dude. I completely understand.
Like you can request them.
Yeah.
Still, like if you want a shirt or if anything, we'll get it made for you.
Yeah. So maybe go that direction.
Make it
easier on Caleb.
Yeah, that's definitely the way that, unless I can find a way to just like, because it's like the same shit. Like I have like an artwork that's like specifically for the front of a shirt. So it's like, if I can find a way to just mass upload those, like that'd be perfect. And I could just go type in whatever I want. But it's like, I'd have to go and like, do the adjustments for each and every one of those. And I'm just like, nah, I'm not about that.
Nah, dude. Unless you're getting paid. Like, I know we both love doing this, but I feel that's something you should get paid for.
Yeah. That, I mean, hell, that might be something that's almost worth paying someone to do.
Yeah, dude. Not kidding. But yeah, next week on the podcast, we'll be breaking down Bullet Train, the Brad Pitt movie, and we hope to have a special guest. She hasn't gotten back to me yet, so
do it and you're cool.
Yeah.
Do it and you're cool.
So fingers crossed for that. But until then, this has been the All Bros Podcast. I am Jonathan.
And I'm Caleb.
And we will catch you guys next week. Deuces.
Oh, you prick.
Damn. F you.